are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Well, like, if you're going to go big.
Don't go all the way, yeah.
That's just nuts to me. He's a sociopath. Like, it's crazy.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Have you seen the jerseys, though, that they were going to wear? They were pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, they were bad. But, like, you know, you figure you cut one or two and you might relax and say, okay, you know, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. But he legit cut all of them.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Does anybody remember Anthony Rizzo getting into it with Chapman? Like,
and that was brought up. That also was brought up.
Mike, how much does this piss you off?
to no end is how much it pisses me off.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 139 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst of friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode are Matt Thompson and Mike Warner. Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Tired of all this jersey shredding talk.
Aw, that's unfortunate because that's going to be our first topic of the day.
Oh, no. No, it's all good. It's just listening to sports radio in Chicago.
Oh, right? Yeah, but Chicago. It's got to be going crazy there.
My brain is melted. Yeah, it's not good.
Well, we'll throw it to you first when we get to that since Eli's not on the program today. But, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, we have some call-ups to discuss and just a lot going on in baseball and football as well. So I'm doing great.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff to talk about. Baseball-wise, we'll save the football stuff for when you, me, and Eli record tomorrow. But let's go ahead and jump into our first topic, and that is Chris Sale, who shredded his jersey, and I believe the jerseys, the rest of the team's jerseys as well. Like, it wasn't just his jersey that he shredded.
Yeah, he's a sociopath, man. That's crazy.
And it sounds like he is on the outs in Chicago, which to me doesn't make a ton of sense for the team, but if they don't feel like he's a good fit for the clubhouse, I guess they got to do what they got to do. Matt, you living in Chicago, first, what are the things people have been saying on Sports Talk Radio in Chicago? And two, are your thoughts on this and then the trade rumors in general?
Well, Rick Hahn came out and he said all the right things, like the Chris Sale's value is the same to us and to another team as it was 48 hours ago, like pre-jersey shredding. So, like, they're playing this up like it's not going to affect his value, and they're not, like, actively trading him harder than they were previously because of this. That's his words. I mean, whether you believe that or not, I don't know. But sports talk radio out here is nuts. Between Chris Sale and another hot topic we're going to talk about later on, the morality of baseball pretty much is the focal point of that is in Chicago this week.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Chris Sale moving forward? And then if you have any thoughts on the jersey debacle, feel free to mention those.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the ITL podcast just yesterday, actually, with Bogman and the Welsh, and we kind of talked about this. In terms of trade value, I don't know if there is a starting pitcher out there that is a bigger asset, you know, in terms of being cost effective, in terms of his actual playing status. I mean, how good of a pitcher he is. He's a top five pitcher already in baseball. His salary on top of that and the years of control added on are just, his value is so high that even if you want to begin a conversation as an MLB organization in terms of acquiring Sale, you have to be starting, like if the Red Sox, for instance, wanted him, they would have to start with Moncada, probably add in a Benintendi as well. And maybe some people disagree with that, but in my opinion,
the way they're talking out here now is that you'd need a Bogarts or a Betts in that package.
You might. And honestly, that's justifiable. With the way that he's pitched over the last few years and the contract added in, that's completely justifiable. But in terms of fantasy, there's nothing really to analyze here because, you know, if he does get traded, hopefully it's to an NL team. But even if it isn't, he's still definitely the best pitcher in the American League. And if he goes to the NL, he's a top three guy at least. And then, you know, in terms of if he doesn't get traded, you have the same guy that you've had. So in terms of fantasy, again, I just don't think that there's any change in value coming In terms of, you know, the actual, you know, MLB ramifications, he might get traded, but I think that this is something that the White Sox know. They know that Sale is kind of a firecracker, and he, I mean, we all know what happened with the whole, you know, Drake LaRoche business at the beginning of the season. You know, he hung up a jersey in protest and all that stuff. He's just an intense guy. So, I mean, I think the White Sox know that, but they're not going to give away their best asset and possibly the best asset in baseball just because of an incident.
Listen, I hate the thought process that this guy is a just an intense guy.
Like, that yeah, is that such doesn't a make huge up for this. I agree.
Cop out. Like, that's like calling someone a class act or what, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's
just, well, I don't agree with this, by the way. I'm not saying, like, I'm not condoning this behavior.
He's a huge fucking baby.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, here's my I think he's such a sociopath because, like, listen, like, you don't want to wear the jerseys. Like, you know, you might cut one, maybe two, and then you're like, okay, you might calm down, you know? But he cut legit all 25 of them.
Have you seen the jerseys, though, that they were going to wear? They were pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, they were bad. But, like, you know, you figure you cut one or two and you might relax and say, okay, you know, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. But he legit cut all of them.
Well, like, if you're going to go big.
Don't, go all, like, the way, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just nuts to me. He's a sociopath. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well just do them all. I mean, you might as well turn them into, like, curtains or something. I just, you know, it's just but, yeah, no, dude's a lunatic. Like, he's an absolute fucking lunatic. He's a great fucking pitcher. But could you imagine, like, I'm trying to think. If Yasiel Puig did this.
Oh, he'd be out.
Oh, yeah, he'd be done.
Like, you know, I mean, that would be, like, you'd be seeing him getting traded for peanuts.
Yeah, you know? I will say this, too. Major league pitchers get to choose what uniforms everybody wears before they start.
And,
so,
and on the White Sox, on the White Sox, they do, too. But this was a scheduled promotion sponsored by, yeah, I believe, some bank. So yeah, some bank, they were giving away 20,000 of these jerseys to the fans that walked in, like the jerseys that the players were supposed to wear. So then everyone walks in and they're not wearing those jerseys. And
but players are commenting on this too. Like, Carlos Gonzalez said, he's like, listen, if I have Chris Sale on my team, then I just don't plan a promotion that day. You know, I'm going to let him pitch in whatever the hell he wants to pitch in because he's Chris Sale. I want him to pitch on my team, you know? But so, I mean, it's kind of a mixed reviews type deal. Some people think that what he did wasn't that crazy. I think the actual act of what he did is nuts. At the same time, I think from a value standpoint, there's not much
to analyze. I hate to do this, but, like, I'm going to, and you guys can yell at me. Like, if this was a black or Hispanic ball player,
oh,
we'd be having a completely different.
Oh, God.
If
you
this was Jordano Ventura,
yep.
Could you imagine if Jordano Ventura did this?
Like, I wish we didn't take it there.
I'm sorry, but I have to. Like, and I know this is a fantasy podcast.
You're absolutely right.
And, like,
correct.
You know, but, and, you know, and I am known for talking about social issues and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, because he's such a great pitcher. And he's a great white pitcher. We're not having this discussion that if this was CC Sabathia, if this was Jordano Ventura, if this was Yasiel Puig, this, you know, we'd be having a different conversation. You know,
yeah,
but
this isn't the first thing with him either.
Yeah, and but because it's Chris Sale and he's a stud and he's white, we're having a different conversation that he's just intense. He's not just intense. He's, you know, he's unstable.
A year and a half ago, he tried going into the Kansas City Royals clubhouse to fight all 25 guys on the roster.
Like, Pablo Sandoval tried that too once.
He tried doing that, and obviously, you know, he didn't get in there, and thank God for him. But, I mean, he's about 120 pounds soaking wet, so I don't know how much of a chance he's got on that.
I'm gonna transition into something more fantasy related. I just, you know, I just couldn't hold my tongue there.
Oh, it's a good discussion. It's interesting. I mean, fantasy value doesn't change, which is the main point.
But. Yeah, I don't think it, and I don't think it changes no matter where he goes. It's not like he's going to Colorado. So, let's go ahead and move on to a couple of prospects who've been called up by their organization. Two guys that, if you had asked me at the beginning of the season if they had any shot of making the majors, I would have laughed at you. But Alex Bregman and David Dahl have made their major league debut on the same day. You know, we'll start with you, Matt, you being the prospect guru dude. And which guy has more long-term impact and which guy has more short-term impact this season?
I think it's Bregman for both.
Really? Because I disagree for both.
I still think it's – well, long-term, it's probably Dahl. But you're talking about – you said this year for both of them, right? Like,
no, I want this year and
future. You phrase it
future.
As this year. As this year, it's Bregman. As future, it's Dahl. And I think pretty much, I'll keep it real short on Bregman. I think he's essentially, I mean, my preseason comp I threw on him was the comp everybody puts on him. I think he's Dustin Pedroia with a tiny bit more pop and without the second base eligibility. So that's a good fantasy player. I think that's what he is.
Is that a great fantasy player at third base, though? I mean, he's got shortstop eligibility. I think
for now, he might not going into next year. You know, it depends. It all depends where he hits in the lineup, I guess. I mean, if he's hitting second, he's a stud in that lineup with Correa and Springer potentially hitting after him, or Altuve, two of those, you know, any combination of those guys. And Gurriel is going to factor in there too, but
and that's part of my issue is I think at some point there's going to be playing time issues. Like he needs to hit right away. Whereas Dahl could struggle and he'd still be fine because they're going to move cargo.
That's the takeaway from this. I mean, calling him up, I was kind of surprised when I saw that because, you know, there's really no clear path to playing time, but that has to be the answer coming, the cargo move.
Well, they've been playing – I mean, the Rockies have been playing straight garbage
in left field
since Parra went down. You just got to think Blackman or cargo gets moved with this call-up. Mike, what are your thoughts on these two guys? Which one are you taking short-term? Which one are you taking long-term?
You're definitely taking Bregman short-term. I understand there's going to be, you know, risk with either player. I mean, especially in terms of playing time because, you know, David Dahl, there isn't a surefire reason that he was called up. Right now, it was because they needed a 26th man, I believe. And, you know, you're right, Justin, that they haven't had a consistent left fielder since Parra went down. I think that he will probably be sent back down at some point, David Dahl, and at least in the short term. And Bregman, I think that he's up for the rest of the year. I think he's a good enough player that he will produce. To what degree, I don't know. I think in shallow leagues, you know, he's probably already owned in any league. But in shallow leagues, I think there's better guys to play consistently at shortstop already on your team, more than likely. Even if you have a Jonathan Villar, you know, somebody of that ilk, I think that you already are in a good spot. But long term, I'm still taking Dahl. I mean, Coors Field is the best part to hit in all of baseball. He's a lefty. He's not only a lefty, but he's a lefty that crushes the ball. He has massive power. He can also steal bases. In my opinion, he's below just Yoan Moncada for me in terms of long term fantasy value. I think that he's a future first rounder. And if you're in a keeper dynasty league that's shallow and doesn't own these guys yet, I think I would take Dahl for the long term before I would take Bregman but at least for this year, I'm going Bregman.
Yeah, I'm taking Dahl both sides. I just think that, like I said, Bregman's going to run into playing time issues. And I honestly, I mean, like we're going to do a would you rather here with Bregman at the shortstop position. But one of the things we were talking about off air before we got, you know, recording was Mike and I were discussing how deep shortstop actually is this year.
Mm-hmm.
And wondering in what formats, I mean, you know, people are going to start picking up Bregman and dropping guys in 10 and 12 team formats. And I don't know if it's warranted personally.
We were talking about this in one of the prospect pods with Mike just probably a month ago. We talked about a topic like guys like JP Crawford and Orlando Arcia they're getting a little bit overhyped because shortstop is so deep, like even going into next year. Like we were talking, like we're going deep. Like this is a month ago when Semien kind of wasn't hitting as well, but we were saying like Marcus Semien is probably the 12 to 15 range for shortstop, and we would take him over both of them guys.
Yeah.
So and it's a really deep position. I 100% agree with that.
So like, you know, I think I'd much rather have the outfielder personally, unless I'm running out someone truly atrocious or I lost Ketel Marte to the DL or something. I'm going to start with a number 23 player or shortstop on the player radar, Troy Tulowitzki. Rest of the season, Bregman or Tulowitzki?
I'm going too low.
Yeah, me too. Too low.
Number 21, Addison Russell.
I'm going Russell.
Russell.
Javi Baez, number 20 on the ESPN shortstop.
Baez,
but I think Bregman's going to play a similar role. I think going into next year, Bregman's going to have a lot of eligibility everywhere, kind of like Baez does. Mm-hmm. But I still think Baez for this year because he's doing it right now.
Brandon Crawford, rest of the season.
Crawford.
Yep.
Danny Espinosa, rest of the season.
Bregman.
Would have never said this before, but I still think I'm going Espinosa.
I'm going Espinosa. Zach Cozart, rest of the season.
Bregman.
I'm going Cozart.
Oh, Cozart, yep. I like Cozart. I've always liked him. I don't know why.
Tell me if you're taking any of these, or taking Bregman over any of these guys. Jose Ramirez, Marcus Semien, Didi Gregorius, Elvis Andrus.
Over Gregorius and...
I'm not taking him over Gregorius. Gregorius is having a great fucking year right now.
I don't believe in it. That's my thought, but...
I'm taking him over Andrus, and I'm not taking him over Gregorius. I'll probably take him ahead of Jose Ramirez, though.
If Gregorius was getting a handful more steals, I would take him, but he's not, so...
Yeah, I don't think I'm taking him over any of them. I don't think rest of the way that he's a top 20 shortstop. So tell me, in what format is he worth being picked up? Like, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, everybody loves the shiny new toy, and that's like real easy to be like, oh, prospect coming up, grab him, spend all my fab. But outside of AL only, I don't think he is valuable this year.
I disagree. I think he's a top 20 shortstop, and you can probably play him in the middle infield, corner infield.
You just took 20 guys over him, unless you want me to start counting down the top 10 or 11 shortstops. So well, you can't tell me you think he's a top 20 shortstop, because you just took 20 guys over him rest of the way.
No, I took him ahead of Cozart and Espinoza and Jose Ramirez and Elvis Andrus. I mean, I took him. I didn't take him ahead of Bias. I mean, he's in the top 20. He's somewhere there. I mean,
but like, what format is that useful in? A 20-team league?
No, I mean middle infield spot. Team. You can put him in there. Once he gets eligibility at third, you can put him at corner. You can put him at third. I mean, there's different spots. I mean, the multi-position eligibility helps out.
He could be a Ben Zobrist, Dustin Pedroia hybrid for next year.
Yeah, I think you guys are insane. I mean, I know for next year, sure. For next year, if you're a keeper or dynasty formats, yeah, go ahead and grab him.
He's already owned, so it's
yeah. But for this year, like, I think people are insane if they're dropping a ton of fab on this guy.
The thing is, nobody's dropping a ton of fab because he's already owned. I mean, I don't think that this is going to help anybody because nobody can just pick him up unless you're in a shallow league. And if you are in a shallow league, I think that you leave him on the wire if you have one of the top guys. And if you don't, if you are in a shallow league and you have Didi Gregorius as your shortstop, I would rather drop Didi and see what I have with Bregman because I think the upside's higher. I mean, it kind of depends on your situation. He's
35% owned in ESPN leagues, which do cater to 10-team leagues, but still.
It'll be about 70% next week.
So. I mean, if you want to talk about upside, it's a little different story. I would, if you're in a deep league, I think it's something that's worth talking about if you want to take him over a lot of the guys we mentioned. But if you have some of the other, top tier shortstops like Eduardo Nunez or something, and you're in a shallow league and you need some punch to be able to, win your league, I don't mind making that move.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to, the Aroldis Chapman trade. He was moved to Chicago for a top tier prospect and some kind of lesser guys. Matt, again, you are a prospect guru, so I'll lead with you. What is your thoughts on the Yankees' return for Chapman, and then going forward, how this affects both bullpens?
Well, obviously both bullpens. Chapman's the guy in Chicago. Rondon, I would imagine, will not really settle in just to the eighth inning. I think he might be the guy that comes in anytime after the sixth to get a couple outs, and I think Strope is still the eighth inning guy. That's kind of what they're leaning toward today via talk radio, which, take that for what it's worth. Gleyber Torres, I really, really like that kid. Obviously, the Yankees do too. They got a hell of a return, I think, for 3 months of Chapman. I'm not a big Billy McKinney guy. I think McKinney's an extra outfielder. I do think Torres is a down the line, a 15, 20 homer, 15 steal guy, which is a nice player, obviously. I don't know where he plays because him and Jorge Mateo kind of fighting for that shortstop gig, and they still got Didi. So I would imagine Torres probably plays third, with Mateo at second and Didi probably sticking at short because he's got the best glove. But, It's an interesting trade from a baseball point of view because if you're the Cubs, I mean, you already had – Rondon was awesome this year, and it still has been. I think they paid a lot for what's going to be a marginal upgrade, to be honest.
But doesn't it upgrade the entirety of their bullpen?
It does because it pushes the middle guys out. The sixth-inning guys are now, not on the roster anymore, I guess you could say, and it pushes Strope and Rondon down. But, I mean, Rondon – was doing so well in the role. I mean, it's who's to say he's going to not be affected by this role change, getting demoted. I mean, he's been phenomenal this year, and he lost his job. for what? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I just think, I mean, this is just the way of the baseball is going. You know, something works. It has worked for the Royals, and now everybody's trying to copy it.
I just think it's worth noting that, you know, the consensus, like, two smartest front offices, like Houston and the Cubs, both made big trades for relievers in the last year, which mm-hmm. is kind of the faux pas thing not to do.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe relievers are overvalued from a baseball point of view. Who knows? Go ahead.
I just want to throw it to Mike and get his thoughts on this.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just echo a lot of the same of what Matt said. I think that Gleyber Torres is a potential top 10, maybe even top 5 in his peak, you know, shortstop in fantasy. So, you know, keeper dynasty league owners, I think that this isn't necessarily an upgrade to his value, but I love Gleyber Torres. I have for over a year and a half now, and I will continue to ride that train. In terms of the bullpen value, Andrew Miller, I don't see a lot of people letting him go. I didn't see a lot of people letting him go the last couple months as Chapman has, you know, kind of, you know, gotten himself involved in the, you know, with the Yankees and everything. But I, you know, I think that he's definitely going to take over the role with the Cubs. If you're a Rondon Hector Rondon owner, then, you know, it's just kind of like your shit out of luck. I think he's droppable in pretty much any league. Unless you are in a league where, you know, again, relievers, you know, have good value, you know, for their ratios and everything, because I do think he's still a strong reliever. So he's not necessarily droppable in all leagues. But I think if you're in a 10,
yeah, I mean, he's.
If you're in a 10-team league or 12-team mixed league, even a 15-team mixed league, I can understand dropping him for sure. In terms of the Yankees bullpen, Miller is still being shopped, but I don't think he will get moved. So if you held on to Miller all year long, you're going to reap the rewards because he's still an elite reliever, and I think he's going to be a top 10 closer the rest of the way. So really, in terms of you know, the impact for right now, you know, Chapman's still going to be a top 5 guy, and I think Miller, if you've held on to him this long, is going to be a top 10 closer the rest of the way.
I do think keeper dynasty formats hold on to Rondon because it's no sure thing that Chapman re-signs with the Cubs. They're getting a lot of backlash in the area for kind of – there's a lot of feel around here that what they're doing is like sort of like clean and like happy-go-lucky because, you know, they came and they have all nice, likable guys, and now they just added Chapman into the mix, and there's a lot of distaste for everything that
– Does anybody remember Anthony Rizzo getting into it with Chapman? Like,
and that was brought up. That also was brought up. But
I remember that. It was so funny.
It's a big issue out here with the, you know, obviously he's not a character guy. And
I think you're making it a bigger deal, though. Like, they want to win a World Series, and Chapman's going to help them get there. If Cubs fans want to whine about having Chapman, then that's fine. But at the end of the day,
Cubs fans are going to whine about everything. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, I hate things being blown up for no reason. You guys just added a top five reliever, and regardless of whatever past you have with him or whatever past he has, he's going to help them win a World Series. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything to whine about. Even with if Rendon is a team player, then he'll, you know, take on his role for now. If they don't extend Chapman, then he'll have the gig next year. If they do, then, you know, just continue to bite your tongue and you know, play ball. I mean, don't be Drew Storen. How about that?
All right, let's move on to a guy that is near and dear to my heart in Hunter Pence. Should be making his way back to the Giants lineup here pretty quickly. Mike, what are your thoughts on Hunter Pence going forward?
I really like Hunter Pence, and I think that, you know, people have kind of slept on him a bit. He was kind of, you know, slept on coming into drafts this year, and he did solid when he came back, you know, coming into this year, almost hit 300. His power was a little bit better than it was last season. A lot of the same metrics that we've come to know and love from somebody like Pence. Now, the stolen bases won't be there, obviously, but I still think he's at least top 25 outfielder, maybe top 30, I guess, if you wanted to be a little bit more hesitant on him. But I think that, you know, Hunter Pence is the type of guy that can help you win a league the rest of the way. And if he's available, especially in shallow leagues, because people are just kind of blah on him, pick him up because I think he's going to be an asset.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of outfielders coming back. I believe Jose Bautista came back today, which is Monday. Lorenzo Cain should be back here shortly. So, but Pence is a guy I really love, always have. I think you could probably get him at an affordable price because he gets, I think, unfairly an injury-prone tag on him.
Yeah.
I mean, last year's injury was one of the, you know, his first seasons where he really lost out on a large amount of plate appearances, and that was a complete freak thing. So I think he is a guy that you could probably buy for a fairly affordable price, especially if you're in a keeper or dynasty league, you're trying to compete for now. I think you could probably, you know, trade a draft pick, trade a prospect that doesn't mean anything to you right now and go get Pence. And I think he would be pretty valuable for you rest of the way. What are your thoughts on him, Matt?
Well, it's funny you touched up on the durability thing. I said, I'm just reading something right now on RotoWire. It's prior to 2015, he only missed 16 games.
Yeah.
Like in his previous 7 years, he played all 162 in 2013 and 14. So like, you're definitely right. He gets a bad rap about the injury thing. I think what did he do last year? He pulled his hamstring off the bone or something, right?
No. He got hit with a.
That's right. Yep.
He got hit with a line drive in his wrist or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yeah, something fluky like that. So it's not anything that's, you know, you can hold against him. But like Mike said, I love Pence going forward. He's awkward as hell, but I think that's part of the reason why we all love him so much.
Yeah, he does do everything awkwardly.
I guess I'm going to ask you a question, kind of who would you rather going forward? Assuming Pence is coming back, what, the end of this week?
He should be back in the next week or so.
So I guess from August 1st onward, would you rather have Hunter Pence or Stephen Piscotty?
Piscotty.
No, I think they're kind of similar players going forward, to be honest. So
yeah, it's a lot closer than I made it sound. But
yeah, I'm really high on Pence, I guess. So
yeah, I really like Pence too. But I mean, as much as I just said he's not injury prone, he is coming off of an injury, and hamstring injuries can be tricky.
This is true. Yeah.
So I think I would go for the surefire a guy that I know is, or I feel more comfortable about saying that he will be healthy the rest of the way. But it is close. I mean, it's not like I'm looking at Piscotty as a top 20 guy and I'm looking at Hunter Pence as a top 40. I mean, I think they're both in that 20 to 30 range.
100% agree with that. That's kind of why I brought it up. Not being a Cardinal guy, but I think they're comparable players going forward. That's all.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next guy we're going to talk about. That's Tyler Glass now. Has hit the DL with shoulder discomfort. Mike, how much does this piss you off?
to no end is how much it pisses me off. What really pisses me off is that there's talk that that the shoulder was bothering him before his last start, and he just didn't say anything, which, you know, is something that can obviously lead to bigger problems down the road. They put him on the 15-day DL. The main fantasy, you know, stance here is if you're in a shallow league, it's time to drop him. He was already going to be on an innings limit anyways. And the fact that he, you know, is undergoing a shoulder issue, we don't know when he'll be back. It might be a couple weeks. It might be a month. He could get shut down the rest of the year. We have no idea. So in shallow leagues, he's definitely a guy that I would drop if I needed the spot for somebody else. In deeper leagues or in NL only, I think that you could definitely put him on the DL and, you know, try and find somebody else and hope that he comes back this season. Showed some awesome skills. I mean, he was absolutely amazing in the minor leagues this year. The upside is tremendous with him, but at least for now, I'm definitely pissed off, and in shallow leagues, I think it's time to cut bait.
All right, Matt, are you cutting bait as well?
Yeah, you kind of have to. Shoulder scares me, and if I was the Pirates, I mean, I'd kind of be leaning towards shutting him down for the rest of the year, to be honest. I mean, you can't really mess with the shoulder, especially with the luck they've had with some of their arms lately. It's not been a good week for the Pirates.
Yeah, I'm not ready to cut bait yet. I mean, I think it obviously depends on your depth of league and so forth, how close you are. You know, the Pirates are, they're 8.5 games back of the Cubs in the division, but I think they're still kind of in the thick of it.
Yeah, they're like a game or two or three from the wild card. I don't remember off the top of my head.
You know, I don't think they're going to necessarily shut him down. I think they'll be cautious with him, though. So he may not come back towards the end of the year. I think in roto leagues, I'm okay with you kicking him out, but I think he could be a kind of guy in your head-to-head playoffs that might make an appearance. So if you can stash him on your DL or on your bench, especially if you know you're making the playoffs in a head-to-head format, I think I would try to hold on to him because, like Mike said, this is a guy who can make a difference, has tremendous upside. And I still really like rest of the way.
Kind of ruins
for the future.
Kind of ruins Mike's potential trade there. Glasnow and Meadows for Chris Archer I saw being discussed.
If you're the Pirates, do you do that? Because my first thought was I'm doing
no,
that,
because I think there's something wrong with Archer. But
yeah, as a Rays fan, I'm doing that.
Yeah,
well, yeah, obviously as a Rays fan, you're doing it. But I think as a Pirate, I think I almost want to say you have to do that. You've got no room for Meadows in your major league team to begin with. You know, well, maybe you ask for another piece or two.
You don't even know if Glasnow is going to make it. Like, Chris Archer at least has shown for multiple years that he is a decent starter. I mean,
I guess I disagree. I'm scared of Archer. I guess that's why. I think something's wrong with him.
There's still a ton of risk with Glass now, though, even if he was healthy the rest of the year. I mean,
the thing with Archer, though, is he has a fantastic contract. So, I probably do it just because of the contract. It's minimal risk. Even though you think he might be hurt, it's still a six-year, $25.5 million deal in 2014. So he's thinking he's got 4 years, three and a half years left on that. I mean, you can't really
argue
with that.
All right, let's move on to more fantasy related topics. Braden Shipley called up by Arizona. I haven't seen the tape yet from his first start, which was earlier today on Monday. But the line score doesn't leave much to be desired. Matt, what are your thoughts on Braden Shipley for rest of this season and going forward into the future? Because this is a guy who has some prospect pedigree.
Meh. I mean. Okay. Yeah, he doesn't do it for me. Bad ballpark, doesn't strike out a lot of guys. He's not a real big fantasy asset.
All right. Mike, do you agree?
I can't stand this guy. That's what I'll say. I honestly just cannot stand him. Everybody, you know, especially for the last couple of years, has brought him up as some type of decent prospect, and I just have never seen it. And even if you look at his game logs this year, he has multiple games, two strikeouts, three strikeouts. When you pitch in Arizona, you need to strike people out. He only struck out four tonight, gave up a home run to Scooter Jeanette, the second batter of the game. But, I mean, he only struck out four Milwaukee Brewers tonight, and they're striking out more than anybody in baseball, especially over the last couple of weeks. You know, at the end of the day, you pitch in Arizona and you have a high contact rate against, it's going to lead to a bad time, you know, especially with the fact that they're one of the leaders. Chase Field's one of the leaders in batting average. So I think that Shipley is somebody that should be off of everyone's radar. There's nothing here at all. I just can't stand the guy.
I agree.
Yeah, I can't really add too much. I think he was a guy that people had high ups for, but I honestly just hoped he would get moved in a deal, that he'd land in a better ballpark. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I don't think he has upside is high enough to warrant even an investment outside of NL-only leagues.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and move over to a guy who I think has much higher upside in Sean Manaea. He has been up and down this season. He's dealt with a little bit of injury. He's had some starts that didn't go so well, but he pitched eight scoreless innings last week. He struck out five guys, only allowed five hits against Mike's Rays. So, Mike, what were your thoughts on Manaea, and what are your thoughts on him moving forward?
The reason why I wanted to talk about him is because, you know, obviously he has been up and down, but the last five starts or so, he's really turned it around. He hasn't walked anybody his last three starts, and he's maintained a nice strikeout rate. Like you just kind of mentioned, he struck out seven Rays, who actually have been okay against lefties this year. I just think that we're seeing a guy that's starting to figure it out. He pitches in a really good home ballpark. He's doing a better job against lefties, actually an amazing job against lefties this season. So at the very worst, if he's facing a lefty-heavy lineup, you can feel pretty good about it. But he's getting his innings total up as well. He's not only going, you know, four and a third like he has prior or getting taken out of games. It looks like he's going a minimum five, six, seven, eight innings. So I think that this is a guy that's starting to figure it out. The rest of the year, I don't think he's necessarily somebody that's like a top 40 guy. I think he's more of a top 50 guy because of the inconsistency. But going into next year, I think this is somebody that we can really hope for a better season overall, and possibly could take a leap, you know, into the top 30 realm, which, you know, I think would be a really good value based on where I think he'll go next year.
Yeah, I really like that idea that he may not be the best guy to go grab now, but I think next year this is going to be a guy that people have slept on. His 4.61 ERA has been kind of bloated by a couple just blow-up outings. You know, he gave up six earned runs versus Minnesota, who mashes lefties, just mashed on David Price the other day. A blow-up start against at Milwaukee, a blow-up start at New York, or home versus New York, and at Boston earlier in the season. I think this is a kid that is getting better. And he is just pitching a little bit better than his stat line says. His peripheral numbers show that he should have been better already, and I think he's going to continue to progress. A lefty in Oakland Coliseum is a nice little combination. I really like Manaea for next season, but even, you know, even for this year, I mean, if you're in AL only, and you could probably go out and acquire him before your league's trade deadline and probably get a number of good innings rest of the way. What are your thoughts on Manaea, Matt?
His numbers are inflated by the first six outings, I was going to say, because he got blown up in four of those first six were really bad. The first three starts threw 12.2 innings, gave up 16 earned runs. I mean, that's going to kill your ERA from the get-go. I do want to say that his home away splits are kind of interesting. I mean, yes, it's only about, 23 innings on the road, but he has a 7.8 ERA on the road compared to a 3.3 ERA at home, which is not a surprise pitching in Oakland. But his last away start in Houston was fantastic, 7 innings, 5 hits, 6 Ks, no walks. Like Mike said, the last 3 starts, no walks. I was really high on this kid coming in. I was surprised, you know, he came back from the deal for his Zobrist. It was a good deal for both clubs. Super high on AI. Lefties are my thing. Lefties are strikeout guys. He's got the nice slider. I'm buying him in Keeper Dynasty if I can, and I really like him for next year, like you guys said.
Yeah, there's a real correlation too. From like, if you look kind of through his game log since June, a 3 ERA, a 3 flat yep. ERA since June, and that includes two of those blow up starts that I mentioned at Minnesota, at Milwaukee. But there is a huge correlation on how he pitches between like what his ground ball percentage is. You know, when he has a high ground ball percentage in a game, he's getting out of jams and he's not giving up the home runs. And I think what Mike said is a really big point is no walks in the last three outings, but only three times this season, I believe, has he walked more than two guys in an outing. So that command is going to be nice, and I think next year we're going to see a real breakout for Sean Manaea.
Last 2 months and 10 games, he's averaging over 6 innings a start, 53 Ks in 60 innings, only 14 walks, 3.5 ERA, 1.15 WHIP. That's playable in any league. So
yep. And he's staying healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Yep. If he could just stay
healthy. the hip injury is past him, so that's good. Yep.
All right, let's move on over to Tyler Skaggs, who's returning tonight from a long stint on the DL, I believe Tommy John surgery, right? So
yeah,
and we're gonna talk about a couple Tommy John guys here in a second, but first we want to kind of zoom in on Skaggs. You know, as we're recording this, he I believe has just started to pitch, so we won't really know talking right now what he looks like. But what are your guys' thoughts on Skaggs? And then we can also add in Zach Wheeler, Homer Bailey, Alex Cobb in here in a moment. Matt, I'll start with you. First, talk about Skaggs, and then we'll circle back around for Wheeler, Bailey, and Alex Cobb.
I've always liked Skaggs. I mean, he's never really had consistency throughout his career. He's been bounced around from he made his major league debut with Arizona, only pitched 7 games in the majors, or no, 13 games in the majors. Got traded, was up and down between the majors and the minors in Arizona. Got traded to L.A., had a half season's worth of starts. Didn't show that much. I mean, he 4.3 ERA, 1.2 WHIP. That's not great at all. And then he got hurt. There's a lot of things to like. I mean, a lefty with good velocity. I've always been high on him. I've always kind of like a lot of pitchers in LA. I'm a big guy on Tropiano too, for whatever reason. I still can't figure that out. I like his strikeouts too, but he's going to have a long leash out there because they literally don't have anyone else. I mean, he's a guy, he's interesting for next year. I mean, he's going to have restrictions for this year. I don't anticipate him going any more than 6 innings in a lot of the starts he's going to have coming up. But I've always been intrigued by the left. He's only 25 years old, so I'm buying him in Dynasty if I can. But obviously, an owner's been waiting for him, so the price is probably be a little bit higher than you want to pay.
Mike, what's your thought on Skaggs the rest of the way?
Yeah, I put Skaggs higher than the other three that we're about to talk about, you know, Homer Bailey and Alex Cobb and Zach Wheeler. And the reason why is because, you know, he's already went through all of his, you know, little stints through the minors already. You know, I mean, he hasn't had to, you know, he's been rehabbing longer than any of these other guys. He's already hit his road bumps. The fact that the last two starts, he has been, you know, he's thrown scoreless baseball in 12 innings and struck out 26 is definitely telling to me. You know, even if you look at the starts prior to that, he had only given up 1 run, 2 runs, 1 run, 0 run. I mean, he's done a really good job in the minors thus far. And the last two in particular show me that he's pretty much ready to make an impact in the majors. I think the rest of the way he's, you know, gonna, like Matt mentioned, the Angels have nobody, literally nobody. And the fact that Skaggs has always been somebody that's been interesting in the Keeper Dynasty leagues because of the fact that he's had such high pedigree in the minors, I think that he will, the rest of the way, will at least be interesting for AO only. Definitely think he's worth a pickup in deeper mixed leagues, and I think he's ahead of the other guys that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I just got to correct myself real quick. He's pitching on Tuesday, not on Monday.
Yeah.
But obviously we won't have seen him as we're talking about him. I picked him up in a 20 team, the Dear Mr. Fantasy Friends League. So it's like it's got Paul Spohr, both ITL guys, all the guys from Dear Mr. Fantasy, old and new. And so it's you know, 20 team league. Now it's a little bit shallower than I think it's your like traditional Yahoo rosters, which are a little bit shallower than your traditional rosters. But still, 20 team league, he was available, and I was able to throw him in my NA slot until the start tomorrow. So I think he's a guy worth rostering in deeper formats. He's a guy I've always loved his skill set, being a hard throwing lefty. But you know, I do worry about how long he'll be able to kind of keep up his injury profile long term. So he's not necessarily a guy that I'm super interested in, you know, in dynasty or keeper formats. But he's a guy that I think might be able to help you out rest the way, because like Matt alluded to, they have nobody left in Anaheim to pitch for them. I mean, they literally were calling Mike. So
I told him, hell no, I'm not going over there.
Let's go ahead and move over and talk about the rest of these Tommy John guys who should be returning. Zach Wheeler, Homer Bailey, Alex Cobb, all should be returning at some point. Are any of them interesting to you guys to pick up? Because I'm pretty much out on all of them for this year. Long term, I probably would rank them Bailey, Cobb, Wheeler, which I probably in the minority on, that being the order. But for this year, there's not a format I'm touching any of these guys in. Mike, what are your thoughts?
The one that I would be okay with grabbing at least now is Homer Bailey. And that's because he has one more start in the minors before the Reds are talking about bringing him up. He's been, you know, throwing for AAA now since the 27th of June. And, you know, he's been consistent. Yes, he's been giving up home runs. No, he hasn't been able to stretch out to 100 pitches yet, which is what they're hoping he's going to do here the day we're recording here on Wednesday. So hopefully if you pick him up now, you might get a start out of him next week. Yes, there is that argument. Yeah, you know, Tommy John returnee, you know, probably won't, you know, pitch a ton of innings. Also, how effective are those innings going to be? With Alex Cobb, I'll tell you right now, he's not going to be available till probably late August. And that's because he was already stopped on his rehab assignment due to arm fatigue. They're talking about ramping him back up, but that's, you know, that's the thing is, you know, he's probably not going to be available until late August. So even if you've been holding him all year, I wouldn't, you know, put on much hope that he's going to add much to your fantasy team. And same with Zach Wheeler. I think he's actually a little bit ahead of Cobb in terms of timetable of coming back. I agree in a sense with your stance, Justin. Like, none of these guys are probably worth grabbing for this year. I do think Bailey is a little bit more interesting because he is the closest to returning. But long-term, I still have Cobb tops above the other two. I think Bailey is second and then Wheeler third. But that's something we can talk about next year.
Well, yeah, and I think I'm going to amend mine. I think I'm going to go with your order, too. I think I'm going Cobb, Bailey, Wheeler, just because we've seen things from Cobb and Bailey. Like, we've seen them be good. Wheeler, we've never seen be good. He's had control issues to begin with. Mm-hmm. He is a guy that that has struggled to find the strike zone at times, and that tends to be the last thing that returns is your control and command when you're coming back from Tommy John. So, like, I got questions about Zach Wheeler through the offseason, through the first half, and I just kept saying no, 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 and people just kept asking him. I never understood why people were interested in Zach Wheeler for this year. You know, maybe he can turn it around in future seasons, but I think I would go Cobb, Bailey, Wheeler long term. But like I said before, I'm not touching any of these guys outside of AL or NL onlys, like 12 teamers, for the rest of this year. Matt, what are your thoughts on these guys?
I agree on the order you put them in, Justin, and I'm not touching any of these guys this year. And I don't know, you're not being very nice to Wheeler. You're just bitter you guys gave him up for Beltran?
Yeah. We gave him up for like 6 months to Beltran.
What'd you guys give up for Duvall, by the way? Because whatever it is, it's not working out, probably.
I can't remember what we got in return for Duvall. But it was something
it was a bigger trade.
Yeah, it was something that involved a playoff, you know, run. And I'm fine with those trades. You know what? If we'd given up Syndergaard in that Beltran deal, it would have been totally worth it to me because eventually we won a World Series. And how many teams could, you know, say, you know, we've won 3 World Series in 5 years. It all worked out, you know. And even when it doesn't work out, I was totally fine with the Shelby Miller trade
because they wanted to win trade. Now.
Yeah.
It was Mike Leake deal.
Which actually wasn't – Mike Leake pitched, you know, fairly well for us down the stretch last year. You know, I have no problem going all in to win now because, you know, when these teams, you know, that are accumulating these prospects are still mediocre in 5 to 10 years, I want a chance at glory now. That's just my thinking, and I know I'm not the prospect guy you guys are, but, you know, I totally get wanting
wrong.
To win now.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that.
Speaking of prospects, Frazier and Zimmer were both called up to AAA today, so Matt and I have something to talk about next week.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I might make a guest appearance on that podcast.
Sure. Wear pants that are baggy because you might have trouble.
I never wear pants when I'm podcasting.
Oh, well, that's also a fact. So
who does?
I didn't even know that, but hey, well, I guess me. Evidently, I'm the only one.
Well, this just took an awkward turn.
Yeah.
Speaking of the reason why I don't wear pants, let's talk about Manny Margot, who should be making his way up to San Diego here soon. This is a guy that is got some prospect pedigree, been kind of high up in the prospect ranks, but I feel like he's a little bit forgotten about and has kind of been downgraded a little bit unfairly. Matt, what are your thoughts on Manny Margot going forward?
I don't know if he comes up this year, to be honest, unless they trade Upton.
What?
Yeah.
They're about to trade Upton.
I don't know. I they got nothing to play for. I kind of think they're going to – he might come up August 1st. And just kind of play in August, September, which I guess will help because he's going to get steals, which are a valuable commodity. But
August 1st isn't a week.
August 1st is like 5 days away, yeah.
I get that, but like, okay, whatever. But what I think you guys are overrating his impact. I don't think he's that great of a hitter, to be honest. I mean, he's going to steal bases, but you can't steal first. He doesn't walk a ton. He plays a phenomenal center field, which is going to keep him in the lineup. But, I mean, you have to buy him because of the steal potential, but I'm keeping my expectations low.
Yeah, I think he's got more power coming. You know, I mean,
sure,
it may not show this
year.
Okay, yeah, this year it's not going to show power, but I mean, he's a guy that I think could hit. I mean, you don't think he could hit 280, 290?
Probably not off the bat this year. No,
I think he's a guy who could hit 280, steal 10 bases rest of the way.
I think he's an empty 250 guy with.
Oh, wow. Okay, and I mean, you've probably seen him a little bit more than I have.
Because you won't get on base enough. The steals will be there when he gets on.
I wish he walked more.
That's the thing. He's batting average dependent, and I don't like young kids like that being batting average dependent coming up. You can't really bank on that.
But, I mean, if they do move him up, move Upton, you know, and maybe even move Kemp, you know, there isn't really a whole lot standing in his way for playing time.
No, especially with John Jay out. I mean, he kind of has to. He goes there by default. I think Jankowski is the only viable option. He's okay, but he's not anything you hold Margot down for. Mm-hmm. But I think the expectations need to be stepped back. I know you're real high on him. I have him ranked 20th on my list of prospects right now, so I guess I'm decently high on him. But I have him behind guys, even for this year, which, I mean, I'd rather have, obviously, Contreras because he's playing a lot more.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson's obviously out of him through the shortstop, but I think he can be a similar player to Tim Anderson this year if everything breaks right.
All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on him going forward?
I think he's a 15-team mixed league ad now. He was just pulled the other day in the fourth inning because there's been heavy Melvin Upton Jr. Trade talk. I mean, I even heard today that by the time people are listening to this, I think Melvin Upton's going to be traded. And as soon as that happens, Margot's going to come up. He's going to be their leadoff hitter. No, he doesn't walk enough, and I think that's certainly something he needs to improve on. But, you know, hitting leadoff on a major league club and being able to steal bases is certainly a fantasy commodity, something that everybody can use. You know, I think he's going to be a runs asset, a stolen base asset, and I think he'll be able to hit better than 250. He's never hit 250 anywhere in the minors. He's always hit above that. So even though he doesn't walk, he still has a high contact rate, able to put the bat to the ball, similar to a Mookie Betts. Not saying he's going to be Mookie Betts, but I think that he's certainly, 15-team mixed league viable in some way that I think could definitely steal double-digit bases the rest of the way and hit 260, 270 at least.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I mean, I like him long term. I was just saying this year, it's hard to project batting average for a guy, and that's kind of what he's he needs betting. He's extremely high betting average dependent player.
If you looked at him in the futures game, though, like he looked like he belonged. He was comfortable.
Definitely.
He didn't, you know, he wasn't shying away from pressure. He was there, and he was just, he seemed to me like he's ready, and he's facing the best competition that the minor leagues offer. I think, you know, obviously the majors is much, much better, but I think that he will be just as comfortable in the majors, and he'll learn on the fly. He's always been good at every level he's been at.
He's hit everywhere, and that's worth something. But like I said, it's a month stint, so it's really hard to project.
Agreed.
All right, we're going to move on to the last guy we're going to talk about. And it's only the only reason we're talking about him is because Mike put him on the show notes, and I want a moment to shame Mike for doing this. Though, and you know, he put the name Tyler Anderson on the show notes, and I went, "Who the fuck is Tyler Anderson?" And then I remembered, "Oh, this is that pitcher that pitches in Colorado." And I was like, "Why the fuck are we talking about Tyler Anderson?" So, Mike, who the fuck is Tyler Anderson?
He's obviously a Colorado Rockies starter, and he's been somebody that's been able to be fantasy viable the last few starts here. Like, he might have actually cracked the Coors Field code, as you will. Listen, I don't think he has any, like, real upside, but he's been solid. Like, at home, he has a 3.5 ERA. You can't just teach that. You know, if you look at his game logs, he, you know, has only given up more than 3 runs once. And, I mean, he's staying with a solid strikeout rate. He misses bats at a pretty good clip. Yes, he's going to give up a ton of hits. He's not a whip asset. But in deep leagues and definitely in NL only, I think he's worth an add. He's able to keep hitters off balance enough. And all of his starts except for two have been at home, and he's been able to keep a 3.5 ERA.
That is the big thing. He's had two home starts.
No, he's had two starts on the road.
Two on the road.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I totally read that wrong.
Yeah, he's given up a high batting average at home, but he's doing okay. I mean, the fact that he has...
Do you trust it? I just don't... I'm looking at the FIP, the XFIP, the ground ball rate. The BABIP is even high. I just don't believe it. I'm not outside of NL only, I'm not trusting a Rocky starter.
I get it. I just want to mention him because I think, you know, just like you, everybody is going to assume that, and he's going to sit on waiver wires like I've seen, and I think he's worth starting at times, and even at home, because until he gets rocked, he hasn't got rocked yet.
Once he gets rocked, the level of competition hasn't been great.
No, I mean, he's faced Philly, Tampa, Atlanta. You know, he's seen San Fran in San Fran, which was obviously a better place to pitch. But he's going at least five, six innings.
He gave up two home runs in San Francisco. I'm not trusting the love of competition. I think that's, and the last two starts haven't been great either. Three runs given up by, or to Atlanta, four runs given up to Tampa Bay, two runs given up to Philadelphia, three atrocious offenses. And Tampa Bay is probably the worst team in the history of baseball.
Okay. Ooh. Now we just went off the rails.
I'm just joking, but Matt, what are your thoughts on Tyler Anderson moving forward?
I've actually used him two separate times as a streamer in my home league, my money league. I've picked him up and dropped him twice. I mean, I'm not that he's got the first round pedigree, which you can't go unnoticed. He's a former Oregon Duck, which, so he's used to wearing hideous uniforms. So good thing he's in Colorado.
60% ground ball rate, by the way. But I didn't mention that. 60%.
No, and that's, you just took what I was going to say. I said he gets ground balls and limits walks, and that's the most basic things you can do, and it's working for him. But yes, he said the competition's been low, but I mean, at this point, with all the injuries to people who have been suffering with the pitchers, I mean, he's got to be added until he bombs, right?
I think he's a streamer for me.
That's how I've been using him, but I think now someone else grabbed him and picked him up, and I think he's on somebody's roster now just because he's been great. I'm a little leery of him, but I mean,
I got to sit down and watch his start.
That's the time.
His next start's got to be coming up here shortly, so I'll sit down and watch his next start. Maybe I'll try to look back on some of his previous ones because I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers tell me that there's something here, that Mike's right. But there's, you know, I just don't buy it. I just don't. And this is a bias because everything is, and sometimes this happens to us in fantasy. Like, you know, the numbers tell us one thing and our gut tells us another. And, you know, maybe this is something I need to reexamine. But thank you, Mike, for teaching us all about Tyler Anderson.
Melky Cabrera just made a fantastic throw to nail Chris Bryant at second base. That was crazy.
I swear Matt's the biggest Cubs fan ever. He just watches their games anytime.
They're playing the White Sox, and so I can't really watch anybody else right now.
Oh, don't act like you don't have MLB TV.
Yeah, exactly. Or the minor league one, he too. So.
That's what I've been watching lately, minor league game.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell people where you can be reached and what you're working on?
Oh, well, I can be reached on Twitter at MDTomp24. I dropped an AL East updated prospect rankings, which is now outdated because the Yankees just added two more guys. So that'll be updated soon. and I'll be doing the rest of the divisions.
Yeah, you should just wait until after the trade deadline.
I'm kind of thinking I should, but I mean, I was getting them out of there. So by the end of 2 weeks from now, after the deadline and a week settles, I'll have all divisions out and a nice orderly table for you to check out at friendswithfantasybenefits.com. So go do that.
All right, Mike, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
You can reach me at Mike Werner, FWFB. I'm currently engulfing myself in Eli Rosenzweig's 3-sport league draft, slow draft that we have going on that I know you're a part of, Justin. And
yeah, I got suckered back into it.
Yeah, so that pretty much dominates a ton of my time. Other than that, I was, like I mentioned earlier, I was a guest on the ITL podcast with Bogman the Welsh, who have been guests on our podcast a million times. You guys probably already know them. If you don't, then please do. You could also check out my stuff on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. I just put out a impact piece of Arian Foster going to the Miami Dolphins, so check that out and see, you know, how I feel like their running back situation will go. We have the football podcast coming back. Rejoice, everyone, because it's about to be football season. I know I'm really excited about it. I know you are too, Justin. And you can also check out myself on baseballhq.com, my daily matchups piece on Saturday. And you can also check out my Rays updates on fantasybros.com.
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Don't forget to give our sponsor a look, officialfantasyrings.com. Use our promo code FWFB for 10% off at checkout. Go and get yourself a ring from officialfantasyrings.com. Make all your opponents kiss your ring after you crush them in your fantasy leagues. You can get them for any sport. They're fully customizable. Again, use our promo code FWFB at checkout for 10% off. Like I said, you can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can read anything I'm writing for football right now on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. We should have positional ranks coming out this week. You'll probably have quarterback and running back up as you're listening to this podcast, maybe even wide receiver as well, too. Football podcast going to start recording pretty much before this one is posted, so hopefully we'll have football podcast going up as well. It will be under a new football feed. Just like you had to resubscribe to a new feed for baseball, you'll have to do it for football, too. But we will be tweeting that out, I'm sure, plenty. So definitely do that. For Mike, Matt, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Fall.